Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Worship was good, right? About when horse there. Hallelujah. How's your back feel over there? Oh, back's healed. I'm leaving. Got mine. Oh, they're over there. I'm sorry. Act like I didn't say anything, all right? We'll just... Anyway, oh, they're going to get coffee now. Don't worry about it. All right. You got to be stealth about these things. So last week we talked about how to overcome. We talked about conquering by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we did not love our lives even unto death. That was a good message. Yeah, I was encouraged. I don't know if you're encouraged. I was encouraged in the Lord in that message. And I kind of want to build upon that today. And I want to talk about, don't look now. Don't look. Samantha Timmons. So, hey, how's your back doing? It's still good? Hey, the back is still good, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, if you leave early, that's what we do, if you didn't know that. So you just want to stay to the end. As soon as you walk out of the room, can you believe what she was wearing? God, would you kill me if I did that, honey? Would you pretty much just come on the stage and snatch the mic from me? Is that what would happen? That's pretty much what would happen. So we're in 2 Peter. Oh, yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm gonna share a very brief message, and then I believe that the Lord is going to do something in some people's lives, and it's going to be pretty exciting to watch. 2 Peter chapter 1 reads like this. Verse 3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, verse 4, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Oh, that's a very clear statement, right? That's all just very, I read that. I probably don't even need to preach it now because that is such an easy statement to grasp. But for those of us who take a little bit longer, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to see if I can unpack this scripture because at the end, you're going to be like, wow, that's really good stuff right there. I mean, it's all good, but this is good stuff right here. So let's see if we can't dive in and figure out what Peter is trying to speak to us. I remember talking to the Holy Ghost one day, and I was thinking about Peter and thinking, you know, Peter probably knew God pretty good, right? You know, right? He was close with Jesus. And I tell this story, and I was just like, man, you know, I read books. I'm a reader. Is anybody here a reader? I'm a learner. I like to learn stuff. I like to learn stuff that my wife would be like, why are you reading about climbing Mount Everest? You're never climbing Mount Everest. You don't want to walk around the block. You're not going to climb a mountain. Why are you... I don't know, but I like to learn stuff. I don't know. You know, right now they're climbing Mount Everest. Right now is a little 2-month window that they do that. They're around Camp 2 right now. I just study this. I don't know why. I like to learn stuff. I like to learn. And so I read books because I'm a Christian. I read Christian books. That's how it works. See how that works right there? And it's kind of my vocation, this Christianity thing. And I like to learn about it. And so I read Christian books. And I remember thinking one day, Peter knew God. I wish he wrote a book. And the Holy Ghost is like, he wrote 2, 1 and 2 Peter. I was like, well, let me read those. This will be good stuff. And so as we read these really short books that Peter wrote, Peter was a unique guy. Peter is the guy who walked with Jesus for 3 years. You know, how people like to rebrand Jesus today as, you know, Jesus is my homeboy. You know, he's a friend of sinners. You know, this God man who didn't stand for anything in the new in the new casting of him, he didn't stand for anything. He didn't do anything that made anybody upset. All he wanted to do was tell people, let's just sit around and love, you know? And but here's Peter, who was probably the closest disciple to him. I mean, some could argue possibly John. Well, John would argue that he was the closest, but Peter was really close. And so after 3 years, they're in the, you know, they're in the garden, and the soldiers come up to capture Jesus, and Peter's still swinging a sword. He cut off one of their ears. And you're like, if you're with cute and cuddly Jesus for 3 years, you would think at some point you stopped carrying a sword. But no. You know, and I like the baby Jesus in the manger, who's not a harm to us, you know, who doesn't threaten our life, you know, baby Jesus, Mary's boy. You know, that's a neat, you know, non-threatening Jesus. However, here's Peter walking with Jesus 3 years, still carrying a sword, cutting off people's ears to defend the Messiah. And so Peter has got kind of like this more testosterone-driven, which is probably why I like him. I kind of like being a guy. I like it. Sometimes you're in church and you're wondering if the... Never mind, I'm not going there. Anyway, so... You proud of me, honey? Are you proud? Bam! Look at that self-control. I got the Holy Ghost. But I like being a guy. I like the fact that I'm a man. I like being a man. I plan on staying a man. And married to a woman, plan on staying married to a woman. I encourage it. And so Peter he's like a man's man. And he's like a no-nonsense kind of man. Look at him. The kids are walking over there, and they're walking like this sometimes. Because they'd be wilding out. But Peter is a guy. He's a man's man. And what I like about Peter is you can tell Peter's a father. You could tell that Peter... You know, when you don't have kids, you don't really know how to lead people that well, I have found. When you have kids, all of a sudden you have no problem saying, just be quiet. Just listen to me. I know better than you do. Just stop talking. See, if you don't have kids, then you might think, wow, maybe they might be saying something really important. But when you have kids, you realize foolishness. When you're not, just, I know this already. Just be quiet. And Peter, in his books, he's like, no, I know Jesus. What you guys are hearing, it's not Jesus. I know Jesus. And let me help you to tell the foolishness to shut up. And so Peter just has this, you know, Paul is Paul was really learned. When Paul writes his letters, he writes as an educated man writing to educated men. You have to recognize that Paul was discipled by brilliant people, and he was learned in the scriptures, and he had the Torah memorized. And when he got converted to Christianity, he was already an academic, and he was representing the Jewish religion as part of the government persecuting Christians. Peter wasn't. Peter was just a working guy. He was just a guy doing a job. And when he writes, he's not trying to tickle your intellect. He's just a man of men saying, listen, that's stupid. Just stop doing that. These people are going to hell. You know, where Paul, it takes him like 3 chapters to finish a thought. Peter even says in his own writings, he's like, this stuff Paul writes, it's confusing. I don't know. Let me just tell you what's up. I don't know where he's going with all this, but let me just tell you, stop sinning. It's going to send you to hell. You know, he just makes it plain. And I like that about him. I like that he just makes it plain. But as we unpack this scripture here, in 2 Peter. And if you don't read Peter, just read it a lot. If you feel called to ministry, I recommend you read Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, a lot, because this is Paul discipling somebody who's in the ministry. And so I listen to that on audio a lot. I read it a lot. I really try to make it part of who I am, because I got to figure that Paul knew how to put people in ministry. Paul would show up where nobody was saved, and then when he would leave, there would be elders and fivefold ministers. Here's somebody who was on to something. You know, he was on to something. And I want to read what he wrote, because it's probably going to help me. But Peter, he just kind of, instead of all these lofty words, he just kind of cuts to the matter, and he cuts to the chase, and he just gives you the plain truth. And that's what I really like about him. And that's why I like to read him a lot, because you can study Paul and get your intellect tickled. But then you get to Peter. It's kind of like, you know, you go to mom who will love you and your stupidity kind of help you change. And dad's like, that's just stupid, son. Which is why kids need a mom and a dad. You know, you just need two parents. No condemnation if that's not where you're at. I grew up with just my mom. So no condemnation. I honor her for what she did. But kids need both parents. Because my wife will, I love you, son. I owe you some money after this, okay? If it was up to my wife, she would pick out my son's clothes until he's about 23. And I'm like, the boy can pick out his clothes. She's like, he's four. I'm like, that should be old enough. I don't understand. Grow up, son. Because I'm a dad. I want my son to become a man. Mom wants son not to get hurt. And I'm like, he's not going to get hurt by not matching or wearing wrinkly clothes. He'll be okay. And when people stop talking to him, he'll know, okay, I got to wear clean clothes. You know, that's how. You know what I'm saying? Dads, you know what I'm talking about, right? Any dads in here? You know what I'm talking about, right? You just look at the boy. Any dads in here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Thank you. Appreciate that. Like, why don't you have a job? I'm seven. So? I had a job when I was seven. You know, it gets younger. Your first job gets younger as a dad when you get older. I was paying rent by then, I'm pretty sure. I built a house when I was seven. No job at seven. You could get a job. Collect cans or sell something, you know. But anyways. So here's Peter, and Peter is talking to the church, and he's like, listen, God has given us things, and it's sovereignly by his power. And we see right here at 2 Peter 1:3, and I'm taking way too long, I'm going to try to hurry. It says, by his divine power, he's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. What does that mean? That means that we can't create our own life. We don't have to go out and find something. If it has to do with life, and if it has to do with being godlike, he gave it to us freely. We don't have to invent it. We don't have to go look for it outside of him. He gave it to us. That means it's his to give. It's in him. And so Peter kind of lays a foundation for this point right there. Everything that you need for godliness, you can find in God. It comes from him. And he says, the knowledge of him, God, he called us to his glory and excellence. Now, I find this part right here, if you could leave this up for a second. God used his divine power. He gave us everything we need to be godly so that we can come into his glory and his excellence. God has called you to his glory, but you can't get there on your own. And he says, since I want them to be in my glory, I will give them the power to come into it. You see, nothing unholy can come into God's presence. Sinful man can't come into God's presence. It can't. But God wants to have a relationship with us. So he sent his son to die on a cross, thus cleansing us. But he says he's given us divine power so that we can come into his presence and we can experience his glory. Now, if he gave us what we need to come into his glory, some people then take this soft route that says, well, then it's not up to me to do. It's all up to him. I don't have to do anything. Since he's already done it, it's all done. And now I can do whatever I want because it's up to him to make me holy. Peter's like, not so much. Not so much. He says in verse 4 of this 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Uh-oh. God has a divine nature, just like we have a corrupt nature. Our flesh is corrupt, and we can't do anything about that. This side of eternity, we'll always have a flesh that wars against the spirit, the Bible tells us. And so let me just say this on the side. If you are continually like, why am I still dealing with these thoughts? Why do I still have desires to sin? Why, after all this time, am I still not the person I want to be? Because you have not been perfected yet. Because you have corrupt flesh. The error is saying, therefore, it's okay. It's not okay. We're always in this battle. There's always, to use someone else's terminology, there's always two trees in the garden. You always have a choice. Are you going to eat of the tree of life? Or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Choose life. And so Peter is telling him here, listen, since God gave you power to come into God's glory and to make you holy, he says, listen, God's given you promises to come into this stuff so that you can become partakers of his divine natures and escape the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. Listen, let me unpack this even more. Because you have a corrupt flesh, and I have a corrupt flesh, and we all have a corrupt flesh. Because we have this corrupt flesh, it desires sin. I mean, given our own devices, we don't live godly lives. Let me say it this way. Many people, if you thought you could get away with it, would just be wicked. We'd be selfish. And you see these false religions, when they get to create a false religion, men become just corrupt and just disgusting. You know, when you see a man with multiple wives, you're like, the Spirit of God is not there. This is wicked. And you look at like these African tribes where the men lay around in the shade and they got the women out there doing cutting wood and stuff. I'm like, this is corrupt. This is ungodly. This is not glorifying Jesus. The one with the most strength is doing the least work. That's not God. This is corrupt. You know, when you see where you know, I was reading in the newspaper yesterday about how there's this religion that came from Brazil, and it's an American, has a foothold, and as part of their religious practice, they take this hallucinogenic, and they all get high for 4 hours. And they're like, listen, if you got to get something corrupt to put into your body to reach God, you've missed it somewhere. I know what'll get me more holy, more corruption. No. Get my corrupt flesh and get some of this fallen nature and put it on it and I become holy? No. No, it doesn't work that way. What Peter is talking about here is he says, listen, you have a corrupt flesh that wants corrupt things, but God, who's so awesome, he gives you his divine nature, his perfect nature, who he is without sin. He's holy, he's righteous, and he's godly. And he says, listen, he has given you power to get some of that divine nature and bring it into you. And you can't do it on your own because your flesh wants to sin. But you get to, instead of agreeing with this sinful nature, he gets to give you some of his divine nature so we can become more like him. Does that make sense? Okay. And so today I want to talk a little bit about this call that God has given us. Now, the real technical term for this calling, we'll say, is sanctification. It's the word sanctification. I'm glad that excites you. That's awesome. It's the word sanctification. Yeah, good. And this word sanctification means set apart. And what we want to do is we want to be sanctified. We want to be set apart from this world to God. And at the end of this, you're going to say, yes, Pastor. That's a good word. I want to be set apart from this world for God. Let me tell you about this calling that God has given us for sanctification. Because it says here in Peter, he says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and excellence. He has called us to glory and excellence. That means we have to leave where we're at to answer the call. I want to talk about this call to glory and excellence. Are you ready? If you're taking notes, here's my first point. Are you ready? The first call, the first part of this call, the calling is from God. The calling to this glory and excellence is from God. This is important. If the call is from God, that means he's calling you to where he is. God is not telling you to go where he isn't. He's not standing. We're going to go visit some missionaries tonight. They're going to come talk to us a little bit. And we're going to say, it's awesome what you're doing in India. We pray that you go there and you do lots of stuff. That's easy. It's easy to sit here and say, go there. That's easy. It's different when you say, I'm going to go where I want you to be. And then I'm going to call you to come here. I'm going to call you to where I already am. We go on mission trips here as a church. And not once have we said, you know what we should do? Let's find a place where there's no Christians and let's just spend a couple weeks there. We'll just go to, I don't know, Uganda. Let's go to Syria. We got a lot of war going on in Syria right now. Has anybody seen what's happening in Syria? The entire place looks like a bomb went off. They're murdering people. There's no Christians. Let's just go there. Let's go. How about you lay hands on us and you send us to Syria for 2 weeks, and hopefully when we get there, we'll find a hotel. We don't do that. What do? We find a place that has Christians already, and we go visit them because that's easier. Are you with me here? Someone who's already made a way for us. We call them, oh, you have housing for us? You have places we can minister? Yes, you've already created a work? Yes, that is far easier to go. Many of you came to this country because you had family already in this country. Now, the first people who got here, those were the pioneers. And you came just following them. God is in a holy place, and he's calling you to him. He's like, look, I see where you are, and I see where I am. I know the route from there to here. God is not telling you to do this on your own. He's not saying, hey, guess what? You got to do this, and I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to wave my finger at you until you figure it out. And I'm going to thump you, and I'm going to murder you, and I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill your children, and I'll make you poor until you figure it out. No, he's saying, listen, I am here in glory. I am here in glory, and I'm calling you to come here and be a partaker of this. I know how to get here. I am calling you to me. What does that mean? When I hear somebody calling me, I just keep listening to their voice. Where are you at? Marco Polo, Marco Polo, Marco Polo, Mark, okay, until I get to you, right? I want to play Marco Polo with Jesus the rest of my life, amen? Where are you at, God? That's where I'm going. I ain't going where you're not at. I want to be holy like you, but I want to be holy where you are. Don't send me over there to be holy. I need to come to you to be holy. Hebrews chapter 3 says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling. Say heavenly calling. This is what you're called to right here. This is the call. You have a heavenly calling. He says, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. We have a heavenly calling. I want you to hear this. We have a heavenly calling to be set apart for God. You have a look at your neighbor. You have a heavenly calling. Tell him. You have a heavenly calling. If you're alive and you're breathing, you have a heavenly calling. If you've died, I hope you answered it. Or you got another calling. And there's no call block. You have a heavenly calling. And when I die, I want to go to heaven, but I want to experience heaven now. And by heaven, I don't mean escaping the pains of this world. I mean, I want to experience his divine goodness now. I want to experience it now. And he tells us here that we have this heavenly calling, and the heavenly calling is to be set apart for God. In the Old Testament, they built the temple, right? And this temple, we know, is just... It's a copy of what's already in heaven. And so when they built the temple, they built all these instruments. They built like a candle holder, and they built different things to be used in the temple. And after man built them, what they did was they had to sanctify them. What that means is it got set apart for God. No one in the world can use this for anything. It can only be used for God and his purposes. And this is the call that you and I have. I want to be set apart for God and his purposes. Now, that doesn't mean you work at the church. How many of you know there's people who work at churches? Anyway, so I want to be set apart for God. I want God to look down on earth and say, okay, I got all these things that I can't. Oh, that one. That's mine right over there. I'll be able to use that one right there. Okay. There's a homeless guy. You know the Bible says that sometimes when you entertain a stranger, you're entertaining an angel unaware. And I just wonder, this is just me. I just wonder, as I was hearing this testimony, I wonder if that homeless man was an angel. I wonder if that was a test of God. Jesus said, did you clothe these poor people? Did you feed the hungry? Because if you did it, you did it to me. And I wonder, this is just me. I wonder if he said, I want to have a little test for me and for you to see if you're set apart for me. What's going to be your idol? Is it going to be money, or am I going to be your God? We don't know. We don't know because a handful of young people decided. None of them are rich. None of them are. I mean, Bill Johnson recently said, when you're poor, it's easy to give a sacrifice. It's hard to be generous, right? But when you're rich, it's easy to be generous. It's hard to give a sacrifice. These aren't rich people. And they decided to buy somebody clothes. Now, I can say I did not win 7 people to the Lord last night. And I can say I did not clothe a homeless person. But I wonder what heaven thought about that. I wonder what that offering right there, what blessing that set them up for in the future. I wonder what when they get to heaven, when they graduate to heaven after in eternity. I can't wait to get there and look at that moment and see what heaven had set up for that group of people who chose on a Saturday night to go out witnessing and evangelizing and reaching the lost to Boca Raton. I wonder Amen. Yeah, amen. I wonder what happened. But I want you to see that this calling that we are under, it comes from God. And since it comes from God, God gets to dictate the terms of it. In what they call a postmodern society, truth is what people agree truth is. Truth is what we all think it is. There's no absolute truths. It's not wrong unless you get caught, people say. And so we see this string of heroes in American society who turn out to be frauds. And they go, yeah, well, everybody's doing. I mean, I don't want to tarnish people. And I don't want to gossip. But, you know, let's look at Lance Armstrong. A couple years ago, he was the greatest athlete who ever lived. Now, he's a fraud. Now, is he a great athlete or not? All we know is that he cheated his way through 7 Tour de France titles. That's what we know. We know that he cheated his way through 7 Tour. Was he the best athlete? We'll never know. But he got away with years of drug testing. What does that mean? That has to mean something. It means he's really good at cheating. And that's not something to be lauded. That's not something to be commended for. That's not a skill that we want our kids to replicate. You know, I'd rather my kids try hard and get a C than cheat their way to an A. How many agree with me on that? I mean, if I could finish the Tour de France, I'd be pretty excited. In like a month and a half. I'm not even thinking about winning. That's my Everest right there. I finished it on a motorcycle. But I finished. But when truth is not your truth, you'll never achieve greatness. I mean, you got to think at some point this guy said, okay, I won it. I'm never doing that again. And after 2 or 3, okay, no, I can't deal with this any longer. I have to stop. But when you lie to get to the top, you got to lie to stay there. When you lie to get in a relationship, you got to lie to stay there. And all of a sudden, you got to destroy every bit of truth around you to stay in that position. And that is not the call that God has for you. Martin Luther King used to always say, it's never too late to start doing what's right. And that's our God. It's never too late to start doing what's right. You're like, well, if I do it now, then that'll happen and that'll happen. I guarantee you, if you wait a year, there's one more thing that you'll have to deal with. And if you wait 2 years, there'll be 5 more things that you'll have to deal with. When he was just a 2-bit racer and he didn't win a Tour de France, nobody would have cared. He'd have done a little suspension and got back to his racing career. Now, it's all fallen. The cancer foundation that he started, Livestrong, falling. His testimony, fallen. His greatness, fallen. Anybody want to sport a Lance Armstrong t-shirt now? Anybody want to wear a Livestrong bracelet? Look, if you use drugs, you get ahead. You know, does anybody want to do that? No, I don't want to do that. And the sad part is, the man's an amazing athlete. But what's the matter? And again, I believe that if he will turn to Jesus, God will redeem all of this. And he'll use it all for good. He'll use it all for good. But you have to line up with the one who is calling in what he calls righteousness. So number one is the calling. The calling is from God. Number two, the calling is to be holy. Number one, the calling is from God. Number two, the calling is holy. We've been given the power through the Holy Ghost. We have been given the power to escape the lure of this world. And it comes by knowing God and walking in His truth. This is why we have been set apart. This is why we have been consecrated, set apart to God. It's so that we can live the holy lives to which we have been called. Is to live the holy lives that we have been chosen for. Peter goes on in 1 Peter at 14, he says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. In this scripture, Peter is talking to a group of people who started off on fire for God. They started just doing everything that God called them to do. They lived radical lives. Gave up everything. Some were murdered, persecuted. They lost their riches. And then the payoff didn't seem as great. Then all of a sudden, just being a Christian wasn't enough. They're like, well, can I be a Christian and rich? Can I be a Christian and? Well, you can be a Christian and whatever God has called you to be. God's called you to be rich, you can be Christian and rich. If God's called you to be a singer, you can be a Christian and a singer. If God's called you to be a business owner, you can be a Christian business owner. You can be whatever God has called you to be. But you cannot be a Christian and a worshiper of your idol. You can't do it. God calls that fornication. He calls it spiritual fornication. You can't do both. And you can play along like you're fooling people, but you're not fooling God. We're not fooling God. And he's called us to live a holy life. He calls us to live a set apart life. And Peter is starting to talk to these people. They say, listen, you don't see the reward right now. And so your eyes are wandering to other things. Hold on to your holy calling. Don't give up what you've been called to. Just because you don't see the payoff right now, you need to remind yourself of the things that God has said to you in the very beginning. This is why I tell people all the time, oh, you heard from God? Write it down, because you will forget. You will forget. God was talking to me. I had a prophetic dream last night, and the Lord was talking to me. We're just having sweet fellowship. We're having a conversation. He gave me two scriptures. I remember in my dream putting it in my little online note keeper deal, because I was like, I do not want to forget this. I woke up, and I was in the presence of God. Who likes that? You wake up, and you're in the presence of God. Oh, I love that. If you don't experience that, just start asking God, how do I get that? There's nothing better than waking up in the presence of God. Huh. I'm getting caught up in it right now. Huh. No, anyway. So in my dream, I'm talking with God, and he's speaking these words of encouragement to me. You know, his words are life. Huh. When God speaks to you, life just happens. Huh. I should have just talked about this today. When Jesus speaks to you, you know, he spoke the world into existence. Where he speaks, there is life. If you're not hearing his voice, do whatever it takes to start hearing it. Because Peter's saying, listen, you get tired. You get tired and you start looking for the quick fix that all the world is getting. Well, the rest of the world gets to do this, and they look like they're fine. David wrote about that years ago. Why do the wicked prosper? And God's like, they're not prospering at all. They are digging their grave. It looks like they're getting somewhere, but it's all down. Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 12. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Folks back there, you should have that. It's going to be right up on the board. Watch this. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Bam! In the spirit. If you're in the spirit, you'd see it. You'd see through that. And you see that's just the realm that Romans 12, 1 and 2 is going through onto the screen there. In the name of Jesus. Look at that. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spirit of worship. Are you a worshiper? There's your spiritual worship right there. Are you a worshiper? He says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. If we're transformed, then we shouldn't look like the world. I'll just leave that there. Now, this calling is from God. This calling is to be holy. And here's the point that I'm going to get at, and then I'm going to close this down here. The calling is to change the world. This is your calling. This is a little mission that God has given you. When you get saved, God has given you the tiny mission of changing the world. That's your commission right there, to change the world. God has a plan for each of us, but we have to walk it out. He gave us the power to do it. He's calling us to him, and as we fulfill this call, we change the world. Jeremiah chapter 1. God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah writes about it, he says, the word of the Lord came to me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated, I set you apart, I sanctified you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Listen, you may not be called to be a prophet, okay? You may not be called to be on stage. I'm called to sing like Donnie, but I choose to let him walk in that call because I can't do everything around here. I'd be very tired if you got to let other people shine, right? And I appreciate you all allowing him to do that also. That is your spiritual act of worship. You say, I could be up there, but I'm called to pray on the fifth row during, and I appreciate that. The humility that you're walking in is amazing. And I was going to drum over here like Lucas, but I'm like, I don't know why you need all these drums. I only need like three. I'm not going to use any of these over here. I'm just going to use these. But I just want him, and I understand. But we all have this amazing call to change the world. And you may not be able to preach because that may not be your call. You may never be on Christian television, to which you should say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I mean, that may not be your call, but we all have a call. You have a call. You're not just a Christian. I mean, a Christian means I'm called to be like God, and he's calling me to him to be like him on earth. Can you imagine what would happen? One Jesus changed. Imagine if 100 of us were like Jesus in Boca Raton. Can you imagine if 100 of us just said, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be sanctified. I'm going to be set apart for him. And when he calls me, I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey. I'm going to come into his divine nature. Can you imagine if 100 of us went out on the streets saving 7 people a night? Can you imagine what that would look like in Boca Raton? Just 100 of us said, you know what? I don't need to protest these kind of movies coming into Boca Raton. We're just going to be Christ-like. We're not going to go to them. What kind of movies do you think they might show? What if we just said, we're not wearing those kind of bathing suits. We're just not. We're going to be holy. What would they have to sell? They'd have to sell things that were Christian. Listen, child of God, you don't have to protest anybody. We don't need to carry pickets and say, oh, that's not godly. Just be godly. And people who aren't godly, I like that they're ungodly because then I get to see who they are. Oh, you're the one who needs to get saved. Awesome. Let me share the love of God with you. I don't need to protest you. I don't need to go to your movie and protest. I'm just not going to your movie. That is my protest. You hear what I'm saying? So we're called to change the world. Hallelujah. The way you're going to change the world is you're going to be set apart for God. You're not going to look like the world. You're going to be holy. We're not going to deal with things the way the world deals with them. We're going to be generous where the world says to be stingy. And we're going to be stingy where the world says to be generous. I'm not giving my affection to worldly things. I'm saving my affections. I'm not going to help you build your idol. There was a child star recently. Great talent. Family came from an amazing church. They worked really, really, really hard to make this guy an idol. And it worked. Became an idol. Most popular video on YouTube. Oh, they're Christians. It's so amazing. They're Christians. And this God, I'm like, that ain't nothing Christian about what's happening right here. Nothing Christian about this. This is not my God. I know my God is not calling anybody to be a sex idol. I don't see it in the book. I'm sorry. It ain't in the book. Now, I've seen a lot of stuff that ain't in the book that agreed with the book. I see angels do crazy stuff. I see all kinds of stuff. I see angels doing stuff right now. I was going to talk about that, but I'm busy. Whoa. And so after a while, this guy's not a kid anymore. You know, when they're not a kid, it's not cute. And so he starts acting like what happens when people are sex idols when they become adults. And then they say, oh, do you understand what he's dealing with? You can't judge him. How would you act if you were this famous and this rich? And I said, I don't know, because I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't become that famous or that rich. If he was following God, he'd be in a place where he'd be able to handle it. Oh, but I thought he was a Christian. He ain't a Christian. Look what the fruit of it is. If this thing that you were following God leads you into being a whatever and doing all kind of ungodly stuff, you ain't been following God. At some point, there's got to be repentance. At some point, you're the folks, somebody's got to stand up and say, listen, that wasn't God. You need to get the fruit of it. Why don't you give it to the poor? Why don't you repent of what you've done? If it was God, he'll give it back. Who knows what I'm talking about right now? I'm not trying to judge anybody, but I got a Bible. I got the Holy Ghost. I can tell you when something's not sanctified. Oh, you're saying you can only sing in church? I ain't talking about singing in church. I'm talking about being an idol. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about being sanctified and not allowing the devil to steal this generation's children. Of course I can attain what the world has. I don't want what the world has. I want God, and I want what God has, because he is the one who has called me. He is the one who has equipped me. He is the one who has filled me with the Holy Ghost, and he is the one who has sent me to change the world for his glory. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Let me get the band up here. We're going to sing a song. Come on, singers. I feel the Holy Ghost on me right now, and I feel like the Lord has given some people some boldness right now to make some sanctified decisions in your life. Hallelujah. 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 Give me a minute. We're going to sing a song. Then if you want some prayer, we'll give you some prayer, but we're going to close down here in a moment. Pray in the Holy Ghost if you would. This ain't about judgment. It's not about self-righteousness. It's not about I'm better than anybody else. It's about me, Carl Thomas, the man holding the microphone. I want to follow God. I want to call holy what God calls holy. I want to call righteous what God calls righteous. I want to call evil what God calls evil. I want to love God and hate the devil. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about I want to be somebody else's Holy Ghost and I got to tell them what. I'm just talking about for me. Let me just get this worked out before I can go and change the world. Now, this is going to be a declaration for some people right now. The Holy Ghost is going to talk to you while you sing this song. If you have no intention of following Jesus, just, you know, act like you're singing the song. But you're in an atmosphere right now that is going to change who you are. But we're going to make a decision right now that we're going to follow Jesus. Who's with me? Who's ready to be the Holy Ghost change agent on the earth? I'm ready to be a Holy Ghost catalyst right here. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm willing to give up some attitudes. I'm willing to give up some rights that I think I have. Come on, Donnie.
Give myself away.
We're talking about answering the call right now.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
Come on, sing it.